We're going to be moving on into our sermon here. We're doing a series called Making Space or Make Space, and it is about creating space in our lives, making room in our lives, not just our lives in general, but specifically financially. And so let me ask you this. Have you ever convinced yourself to buy something that you knew you didn't really need? You're like, oh, yeah, oh. You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to point at people. But we've all done it. We've all bought stuff that we didn't really need. And whether it was like, man, it was a hard week, I deserve a break today. Or like, oh, man, my neighbor has that, I want one of those. Or we feel this need to buy things. Sometimes we joke about the midlife crisis, right? Like, oh, I'm like, got to my 50s. It's time to buy a sports car so I feel cool and young again. We buy things. We fill our lives with stuff in order to generate happiness or to generate the feelings in us. And they do generate those feelings, but a lot of the stuff that we acquire ends up not making us feel happy all the time. And it's this vicious cycle that we get in of buy stuff, I'm happy. It doesn't make me happy anymore. Let me buy more stuff. I'm happy. I'm not happy again. I need to buy more stuff, and on and on and on. And so it's crazy. And let me say this and catch this. We'll put it up on the screen for you. Buying things is often an easy fix, but it isn't a sustainable cycle. Buying things is often an easy fix, but it is not a sustainable cycle. Now, some of you are looking at me like I'm speaking a foreign language to you, and some of you might be looking at me like I totally disagree with you, Pastor, and that's okay. But hear me out. We can't remain in this lifestyle of buy and buy and buy and buy. And it might come up later, but one of the things I read as I was studying this is Americans, on average, the average American, we spend 103% of what we take in. Now, if you're any one of a math genius, you can't, when people say, Coach, I'm going to give 110%, I love it. Thanks for the enthusiasm. You can't. 110% is your 100%. You can't give more than your 100%. On average, we spend 103% of what we take in. And so the reason, we can't sustain it because we're not making enough to sustain it. But the other problem we have as Americans is we're really not good at getting rid of stuff, right? And so now we've accumulated all this stuff that made us happy that doesn't make us happy, but we can't throw it away. Some people love when I clean up because they're like, what should I do with this? Throw it away. But what if we haven't used it for 7 years? Throw it away. But we might, what is it? I don't know. What does it do? I don't know. Then throw it away. If we don't know what it is, we don't know what it does, and we haven't used it for 7 years, throw it away. But we can't. We accumulate all this stuff. And as we accumulate all this stuff, we don't have anywhere else to put it. And so then we start getting storage spaces to store all our stuff. And that doesn't make us happy anymore, right? And you think I'm kidding, but I want to show you a picture just to give you a stat. In the United States, maybe it'll come up here. Maybe not. Here you go. There are 50,523 storage facilities. There are 50,693 total facilities of Starbucks, McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts, Pizza Hut, and Wendy's. When you combine all those fast food restaurants together and all the locations they have, it equals the number of locations we have for storage facilities. Does that scare you yet? Because I feel like I'm driving down the road. Is that still up there? There's 15,000 Starbucks. I feel like there's a Starbucks on every corner. I don't feel like there's a storage facility on every corner, yet there's more than three times as many storage facilities than there are Starbucks. And then if you, because I like math and I like numbers, if you just want to take that, and we have 50,000 whatever storage facilities, that works out to 23,400,000 storage units for 332 million people in the United States. When was the last time you parked your car in your garage? Or can you not because you have so much stuff? And then 1 in 14 people get a storage unit for the extra stuff that doesn't fit in the garage that keeps the cars out. If the series is about making space, it's really hard to make space in our lives when we keep filling it with stuff. We keep crowding it with things. And if we want to be on the path and the place where God wants us to be, we need to learn to make space. God wants us to make space in our life. Once we have space, we have freedom to think and move about and do and be generous. Right now, we're cluttered and cramped and closed in with all our stuff. And so let me ask you this. Do you need stuff to make you happy? You don't have to answer me, but do you need stuff to make you happy? And if so, how much do you need? Those are the questions we wrestle with. So as you think about those things, this is what I want you to think about. If we make space in our lives to follow where God calls, making that space, and we're being mindful of those questions, it can lead to help us find balance. That balance will help us find gratitude. That gratitude helps us find moderation, which leads us to this great word called contentment. And contentment, so you know, is the important thing because it's the bottom line for the sermon today. Contentment is the thing, I'm not going to say it exactly up there, but contentment is the exit to the vicious cycle of consumerism. I don't know if you saw European Vacation, they get in the roundabout in Europe and they can't get out of it. Like, look, kids, Big Ben in Parliament, like they just keep going around and around. This is consumerism. It always wants you to stay in there. It always wants you to buy more stuff. And you might not see the exits. There are exits to get off of there. And the best way to get out of the vicious cycle of consumerism is to learn to be content. What God wants to bring into our lives is contentment. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I want to invite Debbie Nielsen to come on up. She's going to read our passage this morning. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6. We'll read verses 19 through 24. And if you would, stand with me as we read the passage this morning.
Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Let's pray. Dear Father, open our ears and our hearts to hear your word. Let Brian speak directly from you and help us all to learn to be content. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Debbie. You can have a seat, church. All right, so we're talking about making space. We kicked off this series last week. If you weren't here or didn't have a chance to watch it, our main goal last week and the main thought is this, that everything that we have belongs to God. All our money, our family, our homes, our cars, our opportunities, everything that we have belongs to God. He's a God that graciously provides us all things. And so as we talk about this idea of contentment, we need to understand a few things. That first, contentment is not natural for us. It's a skill that we have to learn. And you might think, no, that's not true, and it kind of is true. Like, think about toddlers. You might have two toddlers in a room, and one has this toy that he's totally happy with. But then the other toddler in the room has a toy that he's totally happy with. And so the first toddler thinks, well, I want two toys to be happy with. And so they go over, and they take the other toy from the first toddler. Now the second toddler's crying because the first toddler has we know at a young age to get more stuff. If it makes him happy, it'll make me happy. I should have it. Do we learn contentment? Second, contentment, to seek after contentment is to fight against the world and the world's standards. Especially in our Western society of America, and I'm not criticizing our society, I'm not saying America's bad, that's not what I'm about, but we are a capitalistic, consumeristic society where everything is intent on you, buy, get more stuff. Contentment flies in the face of that kind of thinking. And so if we want to seek after contentment, you're going to be swimming upstream for most of the part. But remember, we're saying every battle belongs to the Lord, that God fights with us and God fights for us. So if you want to seek after contentment, you're not seeking after it alone. Amen? That God is there with us. This is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. It says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Catch that? I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then he says the verse that we all know, but it's good to hear this in context. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Why can Paul do all things through God who strengthens him? Because he's gone through life's ups and downs. He's been through everything, and he's learned contentment. You and I, we need to learn contentment. And to learn contentment, we need to have three mental shifts. And this first one is kind of the first point for today is this, that we have to refuse to trade ourself for stuff. Refuse to trade yourself for stuff. Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? That's a deep question. That's a hard question. What is it going to profit us to gather up all the stuff, but to lose ourselves in the process? It tells you where Jesus' heart is at. His heart is in us abounding and being full, but not full of stuff, full of contentment and joy. And that's the big question for Jesus and a big question for us for sure. What would it profit a man? Now, is accumulating things and having extracurricular things bad? Is God calling us to just go home every day after we work and sit down in an empty house without any couches or anything and just go, God is good, God is good, God is good, right? Is it bad to have a motorcycle? Is it bad to have a motorhome? Is it bad to go camping here? Is it bad to have a fishing pole and go fishing? Is it bad to have stuff? No, it's not bad to have stuff. It's bad to let the stuff have you. And that's what God is getting at. And that's where the stat comes out. We spend 103% of what we make. That's more than most countries in the world. And that's not a sustainable lifestyle. And then to do that, as Americans, we work on average 47 hours a week. That's time not spent with family. That's time not being out in your community and volunteering. That's time not spent with God. Now, having a job is necessary. I get that. But sometimes we work more and we work the extra hours so that we can get more stuff. And I don't think that's what God is really after for us. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says this. Then I saw that all toil and all skill and work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity and striving after wind. The fool folds his hands and eats his own flesh. Better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and a striving after wind. Again, I saw vanity under the sun, one person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, for whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business. You can work, you can strive, you can do extra to get all that extra stuff, but even the Bible says it's vanity, it's striving after the wind. It might give you a feeling of fullness for a little bit, or happiness for a little bit, or joy for a little bit, but it's going to fade. And then we're going to have to chase after the next thing that's going to fill us. It's vanity. Growing up, I had a pretty good childhood. My dad's got this great story of coming over and being an immigrant or being a displaced person and not having anything, but getting this good job. And he took care of our family, and we would have a Christmas. As we just passed Christmas, we would have all these presents. When I married my wife and started joining her family, she was one of eight kids. And her parents, her family is incredible. And her mom and dad chose a different path in life. They chose to do ministry instead of get money. They chose to surrender themselves to the Lord instead of getting surplus. And yet they always had more than enough for what they wanted to do. They even got an old motorhome, like one that you would look on the side of the road and be like, is that going to make it to your next stop? But it did. And they would go out in summer for like 3 or 4 weeks at a time, and they would do these big family vacations, and they would go travel the United States and see everything. That was kind of their big deal. This is their big deal. This is the one thing we're going to do, is this big trip. And they take all the pictures. When it came time for Christmas, there wasn't a house full of a tree and decorations and lights and everything and presents filling an entire room for eight kids. They would gather together and have breakfast. Then they would take the pictures from their summer vacation and all the stuff they did throughout the year, and they would sit down and scrapbook together and just reminisce and have joy over the memories of what they did that year. Simple Christmas. It was great. None of them felt like they got ripped off. Sometimes we don't need all that stuff to make us happy. Sometimes it's the simple things that make us happy. And that's what Jesus is getting at in Matthew chapter 6. Don't chase after all the stuff that the world has to offer. At the end of the day, rust destroys it, moths eat it, and people want to come and take it. But seek after the things, store up your treasures in heaven, because nothing can destroy it there. What are the things that we're seeking after? If you make stuff your treasure, you're in for a bumpy road. If you make God your treasure, you're still going to have a bumpy road, but you got a great pilot. Not a co-pilot, a pilot that's going to get you through it all. And so where our heart is, the things that we chase after, that's where our treasure is. And so what are we seeking after, and what's our treasure? As we bring this section to close, I want to ask you these questions. What is the most important thing in your life? What is the most important thing in your life? And then second question is, what I am devoting myself to in alignment with what I say is the most important thing in my life? You answer that question. It's not for me to answer. Do you find joy in what you're doing? And do your possessions bring a peace that's equal to the peace that God can give you? These are questions we have to wrestle with as we make space in our lives. Point number two is this. Use money, don't chase it. Use money, but don't chase it, right? We can chase after money. We can run after the next thing and try and get it all that we want. Money isn't the problem. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes this. Let me flip over there. And we've probably heard this verse before. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. What's the root of all kinds of evil? The love of money. Money isn't the problem. Loving money is the problem. That's when we begin to devote our lives to getting more money. Even when you talk to some of the richest billionaires in the world, and they have in the past, and they say, how much money is enough? And I think it was Rockefeller or someone like that, he said, one more dollar. And then when he gets that one more dollar and they say, how much money is enough? His answer is, one more dollar. I'm never satisfied with how much money. He's chasing after money, and he's never going to be satisfied. Is money the thing that we are chasing after or not? The problem is we chase after that. We run after that. So, and I know we've talked about stuff. And again, it's not bad to have things for recreation. It's not bad to have things that you can go out and do, or you can take your family out and do, or that you can use to be generous to the people around you. What God is concerned about is us not falling in love with money. I mean, God knows that we need money for our basic needs, right? We need to work to pay the bills, to pay the rent, to pay the mortgage, to pay the insurance. There's all these things that require money. It's just not chasing after money. Sometimes it's trusting God that he's going to take care of us. Because at the end of the day, the longer that we chase after money, we're going to find that it is empty. And it's not going to give us what we really need and what we really want. There's a funny story in Walt Disney World. I don't know if you know this about Disneyland. This is not a bash on Disney story for all of you that are hoping for that. But if you've ever been to Disneyland or Disney World, as you walk down Main Street, you smell these wonderful smells, right? And you walk by the candy store and it smells so delicious. Do you know why it smells so delicious? Because they pump vanilla onto the street through little scents. And then they have a bakery that they pump scents of fresh baked cookies. And so you walk by there, you're like, you know what, family? We need to get some fresh chocolate chip cookies right now. And so they're really smart in how they advertise and do this. They advertise through your sense of smell. And so one day the ovens broke in the kitchen where they bake the cookies. And so they were in there trying to fix it, so the bakery was down. There's just one problem. They didn't turn off the scent. And so people are like, you know what sounds good right now, family? And so they went in like, yeah, we'd like to get 4 chocolate chip cookies. Oh, sir, we don't have any chocolate chip cookies. Our ovens are broken. And as customers do, they're like, oh, that makes sense. Thank you. No, people were like, I can smell the cookies. Why won't you sell me the cookies? I know you're baking cookies because I can smell them being cooked outside. And they were like demanding the cookies because they can smell fresh baked cookies. But the problem is there was no fresh baked cookies. They were just putting out the scent of an empty promise for people. Money has the way of putting out a scent of an empty promise that cannot fill you nor fulfill you. And as we chase after it, we end up finding ourselves empty and empty and empty. When we go back and look at that 1 Timothy passage, where it says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, right before that, Paul says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. If I have food and clothing, I'll be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's not if I have food. There's nothing about shelter. If I have food and clothing and shelter, then I'll, shelter's not in there. Getting 10,000 likes or followers on social media isn't in there. Having the right automobile isn't in there. Paul says, hey, man, godliness with contentment is great gain. If all I have at the end of the day is food and clothes, man, praise God, I've got everything that I need. How did Paul get there? He learned. He's been in abundance, and he's been in poverty. And I've learned in every one of those situations, God is good and provides for me. So if all I got is the clothes on my back and some food to put in my stomach, thank you, Lord. What a great day it is today. Have we learned contentment? I love how when we talk about God being provider. Put this up on the screen, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That's godliness with contentment. That's making space in your life. Realizing that God will give me everything I need. You might not have what other people have, but God will provide what you need. And it's even if it's in your abundance or in your next to nothingness, not only will you have what you need, you have enough to share with other people as well. That's the space God wants to create in our lives. That's the contentment he wants to have in us. Last thing we talk about, not chasing after money, not selling ourselves for stuff. Third thing I want you to see is this. Enjoy what you have. It's easier to find contentment when we appreciate the things that we already have in God. Amen? It's easier to find that contentment when we see that. And sometimes you might not feel like you have a lot, and that's okay. We might look at other people and like, well, they got this and they got that and that, and all I got is this, but you've got this. Part of learning contentment is learning not to compare yourselves with what other people have. It's looking at, man, God, look at what you've given me now. Look at what you've given me today. Maybe sometimes we think, oh, I've got a bad knee or bad foot or something, and I've got a limp or I've got to use crutches. Right, but you can still walk around. Some people are in a wheelchair. Not that being in a wheelchair is bad. That's where they're at right now. And people in wheelchairs, do they have things to be thankful for? And you have things to be thankful for, even if you have a bad leg. Even this morning, the reason I'm using this handheld microphone is because our sound system is terrible today. And like nothing was working. It's just like fighting. It's just like, you know what? Let's not even try it. This is what we have, and this is what we're going to do, and we're going to have a great Sunday morning, and we're going to glorify God. Are we doing it the way that we want to do it? No. am I going to let it frustrate me? No. No. Okay. I don't need a microphone. I don't need to amplify instruments and voices to worship the Lord and declare his word. We can do that without any of this stuff. What a blessing it is. Yeah, I have to hold a microphone in my mouth this whole sermon. Big deal. So it's a change. So what? Be content. There's things that we have that we just need to enjoy what we have. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says this, verses 18 to 20. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him. For this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil. This is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. This is the idea that God wants us to enjoy the stuff that he's given us. Are we stopping to enjoy that? It's the old stop and smell the roses. Are you stopping and smelling the roses of the things that God has given you? Because he's given you a lot. Doesn't matter what everyone else has. He's given you a lot. And he's given you more than enough to be thankful for. God is good like that. I love Hebrews 13:5. We'll put this up on the screen. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Be content with what you have. Why? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I have. My contentment rests in God promising, I will never leave you or forsake you. Amen? It's a God that gives over and over and over again. And yet, being content in the simple things is sometimes the hardest thing to do. Or being content and appreciative of the things that we have is hard to do. Because sometimes we feel like, I don't even deserve the things that I have right now. Right? I don't know if you feel that way. Sometimes we get the things and we don't want to use them, not throwing some people in a bus, but I know there are people that have tools and get brand new tools to replace old broken tools, but they won't use the new tools because they want them to remain shiny and new, so they keep using the old tools that don't work well anymore. And so we don't appreciate and enjoy the stuff that we have because we want to keep it looking new. Sometimes we don't appreciate the stuff that we have because we don't think that we deserve it. Years ago, and I've told this story before, and some of you have heard it, some of you this will be new. My sister is about 16 years ago was getting married. And she's going to have this great wedding in her backyard, and there's a whole lot of great things going on. But we're having dinner at my parents' house, and one night they're like, hey, come outside with me real quick. And we go outside, and there's this brand new truck in the driveway. And they purchased a brand new truck for me. And I couldn't fathom why. I'm like, I walk by it, and I was just like, what do you think? I'm like, oh, that's a cool truck, yeah. What did you bring me out here for? Because they didn't tell me. They're like, that's for you. I'm like, why is that for me? And I eventually rationalized in my head, they felt guilty for spending so much money on my sister's wedding that they felt like I was getting left behind, and so they wanted to get something for me so that I didn't feel bad that I was getting left out. That was the way my head processed that. What my head couldn't process is the fact that my parents love me, and they're generous people, and they had an opportunity to do something nice for their son to show them that they love him, regardless of whether or not my sister was getting married. I couldn't process that, because I didn't think I deserved a truck. And I was like, I was just blown away. And it took me a while, it took me a long time to work through, like, my parents gave me that because they love me. That's it. It has nothing to do with guilt or deserve or anything. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the truck. I'm not going to lie. But even in getting that truck, it was amazing. It was beautiful. It was a blessing to me and my family. Even like 3 or 4 weeks later after that truck, we were doing a mission trip to go down to Mexico and build houses in Tijuana. And they're like, we need a truck to carry tools down there. And I was like, but my truck's brand new. I don't, you know, and I wrestled with it. And as at that moment, I said, Brian, if you are not going to use this truck for God, you don't get to use it for your family. So we threw stuff in my truck. The reason I got a truck was for it to be used and it to be enjoyed, and not only to bless my family, but to bless other people as well. And we took that truck down there, and I backed into somebody, but we drove away fast. I'm kidding about the driving away fast part. But I enjoyed that truck, and I used that truck because my father gave me the gift of that truck to be used and enjoyed. God gives you so many blessings and so many things, not just to stare at and go, wow, that's amazing, but to be used and to be enjoyed and to be appreciated. And if we're going to do that, we need to recognize those things. The key to enjoying life, to enjoying God's gift that want to provide us with contentment, is to acknowledge the things, to see the things, to thank Him, intentionally thank Him for those things. To stop and not just smell the roses, but to stop and say thank you. That when you see the magnificent sunset going on in the skies in the winter over here, you just go, man, God, that's amazing. How'd you come up with all those colors and those clouds? Thank you for that. It's having a friend come over for lunch and just want to spend time with you and just being able to stop and say, you know what, Lord, I didn't know it, but I really needed that today. Thank you for bringing that friend over. Every day we have opportunities to give God thanks for something. Everything in our life is an opportunity to be appreciative. And the more grateful we are about it, the more appreciative about it, the more we enjoy it, the more we find ourselves in a contentment that we don't need all the stuff that the world is offering. But that contentment can provide that way out of the consumeristic style, cycle so that we can enjoy God and make space in our lives. Amen. I want to invite the band to come on up as we close this out. As I wrap this up, I was watching a football game last week, and I think it was one of the pro games. And, you know, sometimes they interview players after the game. And they're like, well, first off, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let me tell you what I did in the game. They talk about everything that they did in the game. Oh, yeah, we saw this play. And then this play happened. They deconstruct the game. And that's what the interviewer is hoping, that they talk about the game. So I was watching this one thing, and it was the New Year's. And they're like, so tell us about the game. It's like, well, I just got to tell you, it's a new year, man. God was so good to us last year, man. Our Lord, he just provides so much. And I'm just looking forward to the things that God has for us this year. And God is amazing and good. And, yeah, this football game was really great. Okay, well, break down this. Yeah, the Lord is awesome. And he was just amazing. Like, just the opportunity to play on this team and do that. And, yeah, we just happened to be in the right place at the right time. What was your coach saying? Oh, man, praise God, we've got such a great coach, and God is so good. And I'm just like, man, this guy will not stop talking about God and Jesus, because he appreciates God and Jesus. And he's like, football's great, but you know what's greater than my job in football? God is greater than my job in football. And I can't stop talking about God. I can't stop giving him thanks for all the great things he's done for us. Church, there's a lot that goes on in life. There's a lot to celebrate. There's a lot of hurts, and there's a lot of pains, and there's a lot in between. But in every one of those things, we have an opportunity to give God thanks, to appreciate him, and to find contentment and joy in him so that he can make space in our lives to do the work he calls us to do. Won't you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for being just such an awesome God. A God who just really loves us. And God, you do shower us with so many gifts, and so many times we see the problems and we don't see the provisions. And God, you provide so much. This week, God, I pray that our eyes are open to not only see all the things that you've given us to enjoy, but to use them to bring you glory, to use them to be enjoyed, to use them to bless our family and bless other people, to use them to meet the needs in our lives and the lives of others. Lord, help us to be intentional this week about stopping to appreciate you and find contentment in you. Come and make space in our lives, God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.